My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Grant and Danny is sponsored by the law firm Condori and Murrah. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction. They'll help you to draft a will, set up a trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. They'll give you a discount. kmlawyers.com. As promised, we've got tickets to the HF Festival this weekend at Nats Park. We're going to give away a pair of those tickets right now to caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. The show is Saturday, September 21, Nationals Park, featuring the Postal Service, Death Cab for Cutie, Incubus, Bush, Garbage, Jimmy Eat World, Girl Talk, Violent Femmes, Tonic, Filter, Lit. It's a great, great show. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events, courtesy of IMP. So congratulations to the winners. Beltway Blitz comes your way right now. We'll cover the NFL, the Commanders. We will start on the diamond. Bobby Blanco of MassinSports.com. Bobby, the Nationals last night got off to a lead. Jake Irvin pitched his butt off. And if you looked up at the end of the game, you missed the Mets coming back to steal a win with a run in the eighth and then a run in the 10th, 2-1. Break it down for us.
Yeah, well, I personally wanted to start off by saying that I heard you guys talking about the Commanders being in first place at the top of the show, and Danny, you weren't too impressed, and we have to remember, these Nationals were technically in a wild card spot back in May.
That's true.
I don't think anyone was crowning them, but we were kind of happy for them. I think it's okay to be happy that the Commanders are in first place after 2 weeks, but I digress. Yeah, Jake Irvin shoved last night. He did this against the Mets on July 4th. He did it again last night in New York. 4 hits, 1 run, got into the 8th inning, couldn't quite get out. I think the signature moment for him was that that comebacker that he was able to fire to first base. You saw the big fist pump, the scream. That felt like a playoff kind of atmosphere for him and a playoff reaction by him. That's what the Nationals are looking to do over these next couple of weeks. They're playing all contenders that are fighting for playoff position. So these are meaningful games, although they're not quite meaningful for the Nationals in terms of just getting more wins on the scoreboard. But, you know, they're trying to get better and learn how to play these tight-knit games in late September. So this time next year, they're fighting for an October spot. Last night, while Jake pitched really well, it kind of came down to the runners in scoring position not being able to drive anyone in. 1-for-10, only scored 1 run. And I think they went 0-for-6 over the last couple of innings. So hopefully more clutch hits coming up over these next couple of days in New York.
Yeah, Bobby, I'm saying the quiet part out loud here. And I know a lot of people get ticked off. I know the players don't think this way, and they shouldn't. They're players. And I know David Martinez doesn't think this way, but I don't care if they lose these games. I care. I want to see the kids do work. And Jake Irvin did last night. And you're seeing, James Wood had his 2-homer game the other day. You're seeing Dylan Cruz go leaps and bounds at a position he hasn't played much in right field with a couple highlight reel catches here recently. I'm looking at those guys and hoping that, CJ Abrams and company, closes out the season strong. I mean, to me, I'm kind of getting what I want here, even if they're not winning some of these games.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think that's what everyone's kind of looking for. Yes, winning games is important. You want to win games. You want to finish the season definitely with more wins than you did last year. It might not be too many, but even one is technically an improvement. I think they're only 3 games away from tying 71 wins from last year. So you figure they can surpass that, whether it be by one or a handful of games by the end of the season. But yeah, everyone you just mentioned, some of the young starting pitchers like Mitchell Parker tonight, like DJ Hurz, Mackenzie Gore too, also needs to finish strong after he struggled for much of the second half of the season. That's the long-term big picture focus for this team, is making sure everyone, one, finishes healthy, of course, but also finishes on a positive note that they can carry over into spring training next year and start next year looking at like a team that, hey, maybe they can kind of sneak into the playoff conversation next September.
How did James Wood follow up on his 2-homer game from Sunday?
I think he didn't do too well. I know he got in the scoring position, and they weren't able to drive him in. And, you know, that's happened a couple of times now already where, you know, you look at the top of the lineup, and especially with CJ not being in there while dealing with his back issue and also being bumped down earlier last week, you know, it's Dylan Cruz and James Wood have been great setting the pace. But, you know, if Luis Garcia Jr. isn't playing, which he wasn't last night because they were facing a lefty starter, then some of these guys are having trouble driving in James Wood, who is getting on base at a really good clip, like we've been used to seeing. So I know he got to second base, wasn't able to score. That would have provided a nice insurance run for them late in the game, and, of course, they end up losing by one. So, but James Wood, I mean, he had the 2-homer game the other day on Sunday at Nats Park. He's looking to finish the season strong. He's on a good pace to do so.
Bobby, why are we still platooning Luis Garcia? I mean, if they were competing for first place or a playoff spot, I guess I would get it. But he's a kid. He's had a really nice year. Hadn't he earned some looks against lefties?
I 100% agree with you. I still don't understand why we're protecting a guy who is, by all accounts, the veteran on this team right now. I mean, he's the oldest guy, has the most service time as anybody in this lineup outside of Joey Gallo. I just don't know what's the point of protecting him from a lefty starter. He's going to have to face lefties eventually. If he's your second baseman of the future, you're not going to platoon him, you know, throughout the course of a normal season. Get him some at-bats. And I know Davey Martinez has said they want to make sure that he finished the season on a positive note. They don't want him to face a handful of lefties. His splits against lefties are bad, which is a fair point. But, you know, they don't want him finishing the season frustrated, getting into some kind of slump because he can't hit lefties. They want him finishing on a high note. So from that mental standpoint, I get, but we can't be doing this next year, you know, starting a guy like Oldemar Vargas over Luis Garcia Jr. When this team is looking to be competitive again.
Bobby, we appreciate you, man. See you at the ballpark.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys.
See you, buddy.
You got it. Thanks. It's MassinSports.com's Bobby Blanco. Let's talk football. Nate Davis, USA Today, to help us do that. Nate, last night was a pretty classic finish. The Falcons stunned the Eagles 22-21 at the end of the game. What'd you make of the night?
You know, early season football. Good to see kind of Kirk Cousins get his feet literally under him. You know, it's just kind of indicative too that in some ways it feels like we're really in actual preseason football right now. Yeah, it was a good game. It was unfortunate the Eagles didn't have A.J. Brown to catch that third down pass, but that's how it goes.
Minnesota's 2-0. Their schedule's still really hard, but what an enormous win for them, kind of validating everything going on there after week number one for them. Are they for real? Do we have to reevaluate?
A little bit, I think. I bumped them way up to like number 7, you know, in my power rankings this week. It feels a little high, but it feels like, you know, Minnesota and the Saints are two teams that have kind of earned, you know, respect. I mean, I think two weeks of quality wins tells you something. I think naturally the focus is kind of Kevin O'Connell. You know, what a great offensive coach he is, and Sam Darnold flourishing there. But defensively, you know, they're really bringing it too. I think they're leading the league in sacks. You know, Brian Flores really loves to bring that heat. So, you know, I think they're gonna go down fighting this year. We'll see how it goes if they can sustain this. But I think it's a nice testament to the coaching staff.
Patriots Jets is the Thursday night matchup. New England's been a lot better than expected. I have not been impressed by the Jets, but I know you were talking about Cousins coming back from the Achilles. Rodgers, even though he's a few months ahead, is dealing with the same thing. How do you feel about that game and those two teams?
Yeah, I think you pretty much hit on all that Grant. You know, I think the Jets are kind of finding their way, and Aaron Rodgers is also getting his feet under him. I've been a little disappointed with the performance of the defense, and now they've lost Jermaine Johnson, one of their top defensive ends, to an Achilles. So kind of, again, really puts the onus that I think they need to figure out this thing with Hassan Reddick now that they're actually losing pieces on that side of the ball. As for the Patriots, I kind of agree. You know, I think they're really kind of playing bully ball. They're averaging 55 yards more rushing per game than passing. But I mean, they're a missed field goal away from being 2-0. So, you know, it kind of feels like throwback Patriots, and they're kind of doing what they need to do to win. Maybe a little happier in the locker room while doing it, but they've been an early surprise as well.
Nate, I've been pretty damn impressed with Arizona. Easy to say so, obviously, after they kicked the snot out of the Rams this weekend. But still, I thought they were the better team for much of that Buffalo game in week number one before Josh Allen kind of put on a Superman cape. But they're maybe whatever is above Frisky. I mean, that team is not a pushover in that division.
No, I mean, I've been impressed with him since Jonathan Gannon got there, and I kind of wondered, you know, how he'd make the transition to head coach. You guys probably remember that they gave the Commanders all they could handle in the opener last year when it was Joshua Dobbs at quarterback, and they were missing some other guys. You know, they didn't notch the wins last year, but, I mean, they were always a tough out every week. Now they're starting to get some players there. Kyler Murray is kind of two seasons removed now from the ACL tear. You know, we saw what happens when they get Marvin Harrison the ball, and you know, Trey McBride is probably one of the bigger secrets, but one of the better tight ends in the game. I'm a little concerned still about what they have or you know, more accurately, don't have on the defensive side. But they're going to hang with you, and I think we're going to see them in a lot of shootouts this year and certainly winning their fair share of them, it seems like, particularly with all the other issues, you know, floating around the NFC West right now.
Nate, we appreciate you as always, buddy. Thanks very much. We will be checking you out over at the USA Today site.
Thank you, guys.
You got it. That's Nate Davis on the NFL. Let's localize the combo. That's the first place Washington Commanders to you, big voice guy. Scott Abraham of Channel 7 joins us on G&D. How about the 1-1 Commanders by way of a division win with the tiebreaker sitting atop the East going into week three, Scotty?
First place, boys. Let's go. Let's celebrate kind of the small victories here. I was kind of joking to myself. I put a tweet out last night of how former Washington quarterback Kirk Cousins leading Dan Quinn's former team, the Atlanta Falcons, to a comeback win over Washington's bitter division rival. I just love that kind of full circle moment there.
Nice little bit of symmetry. In terms of this offense in the red zone, is that something that you're kind of monitoring here? Because I'm going back to Cliff Kingsbury's days in Arizona. They weren't particularly good in the red zone. You wonder maybe that was a Kyler Murray issue or a skill guy issue. Now I'm kind of looking at this group. They got there a bunch, which I'll take every time. They were able to move the football down the field, Scott, but they couldn't punch it in. Is that something you kind of got circled as maybe a thinking point here going forward?
Yeah, I don't like it. The antennas are certainly up, but I think a lot of the issues on Sunday were self-inflicted wounds, guys. I mean, they had so many pre-snap penalties and just head against the table type moments where you're like, are you kidding me? Again, another penalty. So I think when they watch the tape and get kind of the cadence down and the communication, I think those pre-snap errors in the red zone will be much better. And I'd like to see them utilize, I know people don't like to hear this or get concerned, the fact of Jaden Daniels using his legs, but I think that's a huge weapon in the red zone. I'd like to see maybe some design quarterback runs or something to that nature of getting Jaden doing what he does best, especially those goal-to-go situations where you need a touchdown.
I'm with you. I actually would turn up the faders on the design runs. My hope is, you know, we just turn down the faders as we go on the scrambles, because scrambles to avoid pressure are one thing, but let's reset and throw the football. And I thought there was a lot of growth in that area in the second half against the Giants. I don't know if you agree, but I thought he stood in the pocket. He really played quarterback, and he just wanted to find his guys and throw the football, and the offense opened up. I thought it looked really, really good in the second half.
Funny you mentioned that, Grant, because you were on my show last night. We're actually going to replay that conversation you and I had about kind of his growth tonight at 6 o'clock on 7 News. But you brought up a good point during my show of how it almost like when he got the wind knocked out of him there in the first half, kind of the cobwebs woke him up a little bit. And then the second half, he looked so much more comfortable and poised in the pocket. He seemed like he was sticking on his reads, didn't get happy feet. It just showed that kind of growth and maturity from week one, where he was just kind of running, using his legs, running all over the place, not really sticking on his reads, where that second half against the Giants, it felt like maybe the game slowed down for him. He's getting kind of used to seeing the schemes and the designs of an NFL defense. I love that poise and growth and maturity you saw. And I talked to a bunch of the Commanders players in the locker room after the game on Sunday, and they mentioned Jaden's poise from week one to week two, how they saw the growth in that aspect. So all positive returns right now for Jaden in terms of the growth and development perspective.
Defensively, it's still not what we call good, which is an industry term here, Scott. I'm wondering if we expect improvement, and if so, how much over the course of this season?
You got to believe that, again, you can't expect like a C.J. Stroud type performance or output in a rookie season. That it's so hard to do, guys, going from that college game to the NFL. Look what Caleb Williams is doing. Look what Bo Nix is doing. I would argue Jaden Daniels has been the best rookie quarterback so far out of the bunch. So I'm just expecting little by little, he's going to be stacking practices, stacking games. That's what you want to see. Stay healthy. Be smart. See the evolution of an NFL quarterback inside Jaden Daniels. And I think you're going to see those small little wins each and every week, where by the end of the season, you know, going into year two, he's ready for kind of the reins to be chopped off.
Scott, it seemed to me like yesterday, listening to Quinn's press conference, like he was just more truthful, really answered a lot of questions and dove deeper. Was there any kind of difference or like a theme yesterday for him? It just seemed like he really wanted to tell the truth
the
more.
The whole tell the truth Monday aspect of, you know, you still can learn some things and grow from some things even after a win. And I think he knows, I appreciated Dan, you know, reflecting and understanding, like, this is by far not a perfect product. There's a lot of warts on this team right now and a lot of things that need to be fixed. And he knows it. The coaching staff knows it. The players know it. And they got another good opportunity on Monday night and probably their biggest challenge of the season against a desperate Bengals team that's 0-2, national spotlight, to kind of show the progression and the evolution of the team aspect itself and to show them getting better and better each and every game. I thought the defense was better from when they were in week one against Tampa. Let's see what maybe the offense can do better in terms of red zone against Cincinnati. So I think you got to look at the small wins and the small progressions week to week, guys.
So that's why then it was to tell the truth Monday.
That's what he says. That's his MO. He calls it tell the truth Monday each and every Monday after the game, where everybody gets together, they look at the tape, they look at each other in the eye, and they're real with each other. They're realistic. What went well? What went wrong? What they have to work with? And he doesn't really hide anything in terms of, you know, what went well and what didn't go well to us as a media corps. And that's certainly refreshing. And he's pretty open about it.
Scotty, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
See you, fellas.
Thanks,
check him out. Channel 7, our guy Scott Abraham on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Next, speaking of those Commanders, we always tell the truth, not just on Mondays. How do they get more out of the defensive end and cornerback positions? Two weak spots early this season. We'll do that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Well, I thought it was better in terms of communication first off then. At the Tampa game, we had a couple routes that we didn't match, you know, quite like we'd like. So that part was significantly better. To see us, you know, stay on top of routes and do things, they did a nice job of trying to get some play action shots. But you can live with the ones that are comebacks, and even if it's a, you know, 10 or 15 yard comeback, but you're on top of the route. But the ones that go over the top of your head, those are the ones that you can't live with. And so I was pleased to see that come into life more. I felt the guy's speed in the game. And I thought Quan did a good job coming out of the middle field again. That is one of the real strengths for him.
That was Dan Quinn. And I believe, Darius, that audio was from Monday. So we know it was truthful. Yes, that was to tell the truth Monday. That wasn't from one of the other days of the week.
Lying ass Tuesday. No, duplicitous right. Thursdays. Yeah. Monday's truth day.
Misleading Fridays.
Like, right? What are we doing?
I don't know. But I just want it known that that is, in fact, from Tell the Truth Monday. The Commanders have some things to clean up, as you heard him talking about there, defensively. Too early, really, to look at rankings and take a lot out of them. The Washington right now, 29th in yards per play defensively. They are 29th against the pass per play. They are 31st in sack percentage. 3.5% of their defensive snaps are ending with a sack. In fact, only the Tampa Bay Bucks, weirdly enough, getting fewer sacks right now than Washington, who they've already played. I want to get into how they can get more out of two positions where they have been weak early on. Defensive end coming off the edge and cornerback in the secondary. But first, earlier we went a little long with calls on stadium experience, and so we did not get to the three guys that Dan Quinn cited as really having impressed him to this point. He gave two defensive players that he singled out from the game and one offensive player. This was specific just to week two against the Giants. He referenced Zach Ertz, Bobby Wagner, and Frankie Louvu. Of those three guys, what do you make of those being the three players that he singled out of the whole team?
I thought that was interesting. Now, it corresponds with good games for all three of them. So it's not just patting myself on the back because those are my handpicked dudes, right? Where, you know, if Louvu had gotten beat like a drum in coverage a bunch of times or had missed tackles, and you're shouting him out because he yelled on the sideline or something, whatever. So they all had good games. But it is interesting where it's like these were the dudes brought in to kind of help implement, to help culture change, especially Wagner and Ertz, almost like conduits for the coaching staff to a degree. So it is interesting that through a couple of games, those are the dudes that have kind of gotten the shine.
And I think specifically this was just, as I said, that one game, less maybe saying through two games, here's who I like. But in the Giants game, I kind of get it with Wagner and Louvu because I thought those guys tackled really well.
Yes, they did.
They played very physically. That was an issue I had coming out of Tampa, really both of those things. But namely the tackling. And Wagner was a culprit a couple times with missed tackles. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame because he's one of the great tacklers in the open field in his era. And he's one of the physical players at his position of all time. But he is leading the team right now with 19 tackles. He's actually already got four TFLs. Nobody else on the team playing in the back seven can say that. He's got a PBU in coverage as well. Louvu really hasn't made impactful plays other than getting people on the ground. It's 16 tackles with nothing else on the stat sheet. But I do think
I think that's coming.
Physicality. Yeah. And you saw him on the big hit. In fact, Quinn singled it out. It was early in the game. It probably could have been a penalty, honestly. I think he got some helmet to helmet. But on the long catch and run early from Neighbors, where they got in the red zone for the first time, Louvu came across the field, across the formation. It's what they love about him on film. It's what I think is going to make him an eventual fan favorite here. And he brought the wood. Like he was full speed ahead, crushed Neighbors. They actually pulled him off the field, remember? Right before the next snap, because those independent doctors thought he needed to be looked at.
They go, hey, that was a big shot. Come over.
There's going to be a few of those when Frankie Louvu's around. So I get why he singled them out. Offensively, I did think Ertz was great. I really did. There were two receptions of 20-plus yards in the game before the dart in the middle of the field to Noah Brown on the final drive. Ertz for 21, Ertz for 20. The 21-yarder was a 50-50 ball. Contested catch. And I think Jaden got hit as he threw it, so it was kind of there to be intercepted. It was one of the only throws all season, I would say that about. And Ertz won a fight with a defensive player for the ball. He's tied for second on the team with seven catches now. He's second with 90 yards to Eckler, who's going to join us coming up in 25 minutes. He's got two 20-plus yard receptions, tied for first with Eckler. He's got 18 yards after the catch. Very, very little, considering seven receptions. 2.5 a pop. But we knew that. He is not... We've jokingly called him a catch-and-fall guy. He is not a play-after-the-catch guy, Danny, but four first downs. I really believe this, having now watched this offense for 2 weeks and seeing McLaurin, A, not being involved a lot beyond the line of scrimmage, and B, not really being able to separate frequently. I think Ertz is going to be their primary guy if he stays healthy in the coming weeks.
Big if, but yeah, I think there's something to that. I mean, right now, Terry McLaurin is on pace for 340 yards this season. I think he goes over that, but that's what we're looking at.
Okay. I hope he gets three times that. It would be a story if he didn't.
At least three times. It would be very nice. But in terms of Ertz, you know, it's not what I want. I ultimately want the guy that can do what Ertz does, catch the football, and then also, like, fall forward for another couple of yards or make somebody miss or rumble a little bit or be a threat in the open field. But they don't have that right now. Maybe Sinnott turns into that one day. But there's still value in Zach Ertz. If he's available, if he doesn't get banged up too badly and maintains whatever this is helpful. This is a veteran target that gets by on know-how, setting people up, being physical, using his hands. He knows what to do with the position. He's like that old guy at the YMCA on a Sunday morning that runs every pickup game, but can't even touch the backboard. But he's down there in the post just putting your butt in the blender. He's got that game right now, kind of that post-up game. And he can help. He's a target. He's a quarterback's best friend.
So I'm going to label this who's growing on you. And in the sense that Quinn said Ertz, Wagner, Louvu, how they played are growing on him. We're going to ask this on the phones, MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. I want to hear from you guys on this. 800-636-1067 to touch the people. Who is growing on you with this team right now? I've got three names I wrote down, and I want to get one from you as well, Danny. One, Brian Robinson. Now, doesn't mean I didn't like him before, but the way he's playing and the way things are developing on offense, we're going somewhere with Brian Robinson, I think, in D.C. this year. This guy's going to make plays for the Commanders all year long. 173 yards through two games is number seven in the NFL. 55 rushing yards over expected is number three in the NFL. What does that mean? Next Gen Stats looks at where defenders are, where the ball carrier is, and where the expectation of a tackle is made. And based on contact and where you should have been brought down and what you get after that, there is a stat that I love for running backs called RYOE, rushing yards over expected. He's third in the NFL at getting more than basically is blocked for him. Only two guys have been better. In RYOE per attempt, he's also third. He gets over 2 yards every single run that aren't blocked for him, basically. That's a hell of a number for a guy.
It's a big deal.
Who wasn't rating like that previously. But I think what you're seeing from Robinson, and the reason he's growing on me, and the reason this running game has been so successful, this is a Jaden Daniels thing. This is 11 on 11. This is the old 2012 Kyle Shanahan, Robert Griffin situation, where Alfred Morris rumbles for 1,600, because you got to account for Daniels on every single play, and we're seeing it already. It's not a coincidence to me that after never having a 30-yard run pre-Jaden Daniels in 27 career games, it took Robinson 2 games to do it this year, and he ripped off a 40-yarder already. I think he's been awesome. Who's growing on you?
Noah Brown. I mean, I was already, you know, tempered in terms of excitement of him coming in, going, hey, this is a receiver who plays in the NFL, so I'm excited that they're upgrading one of my, you know, what I think is the weakest position group on the roster. But after what I've seen, there's some physicality there. There's some suddenness there. The move I keep pointing to is that stutter go, where if it's a different play, you know, if Daniels isn't hit or there's not pressure or he sees him on time, it's a walk-in touchdown. And I went, oh, man, that's one of those higher-level receiver-type maneuvers, right, where it doesn't feel like the other guys on the roster are making that route and that adjustment, that sudden move. The big catch there in the fourth quarter on what ended up being the game-winning drive, as he's still getting his feet wet in this offense, I think they got something here.
Two key first downs, 3 targets, 3 catches, 56 yards, and seemingly the propensity to separate at the top of the route.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a lot of guys who seem to be able, certainly not with size, to kind of be twitchy enough to separate when they break out or in. He did that. Small sample, but mm-hmm. He did it in Houston frequently. Yeah. He did it before that in Dallas. I mean, this is part of his game. I think you saw something from him that is sustainable in the sense that he's going to help them. If you told me right now he's going to lead them in catches and yards next week against Cincinnati, I would not be surprised by that at all. So you go Noah Brown. I went B-Rob. Brown was on my list. I got one other guy. I'll wait and get to him next. But let's ask you guys this question. Who is growing on you? Dan Quinn asked on Monday to tell the truth Monday.
Mm-hmm. Not some regular Monday.
Do you remember? That's so funny. Do you remember the TV show To Tell the Truth? I was trying to tell Drabby and CK about it. They'd never heard of it.
Is that what it was called? There's multiple versions of that, right?
I think it's called To Tell the Truth.
Because it was what Leo DiCaprio's character did in Catch Me If You Can. He's like, my name is Frank something or other, exactly. And I did this.
So basically the show worked that there were 3 people that would sit behind a desk.
Mm-hmm.
They would all be claiming to be the person. So you would say, I'm Danny Ruye, and I host a radio show, and I'm a stand-up comedian. There's really no good reason for it. But there's the real Danny Ruye, mm-hmm. and then 2 actors.
Yep.
And then the game show is that people are asking questions of all three, and at the end they have to determine which one is the real.
I think it's letter B. Or
exactly.
Number 2.
It's either 1, 2, or 3. Mm-hmm. And the actor might be me, and they'd go, how long have you been in radio? And I'm like, 9 years. Like, what's the hardest thing about being in radio? And I have to prepare, and I'll be like, sometimes, you know, honestly, not being stumped by a caller. You know, they got great questions. But like, sometimes you could tell, like, that guy's definitely not in that job.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest thing in radio is the food drops, like eating the free food.
That's the worst.
Probably not true. But then at the end, they'd be like, who is the real Danny Ruye? And then all 3 would stand up and sit down, and stand up and sit down, and then 1 would stand back up, and it's such a wacky.
Yeah.
But every time Dan Quinn talks about we do To Tell the Truth Monday, I just imagine all the Commanders standing up and sitting down, and him going, who is the real Frankie Louvu? And like John Allen has to sit down, and Frankie Louvu stands up.
Yeah.
But like, I thought it was a great bit. It played terribly in this building.
Oh.
No one I was talking to had ever seen the TV show.
Or any file on it.
Not even a little bit.
I got your back, Jeep. I've seen it. I was once a Game Show Network mark. Watched a lot of Game
Show
Network.
I'd love to double click on that at some point.
And To Tell the Truth was one of the shows
I watched so much Game Show Network, by the way. Card Sharks. I cannot tell you how many hours I spent watching Card Sharks.
That's the good stuff. I don't know that one.
Card Sharks was 10. So they do trivia questions to get, you know, how many, like how much control you'd have. And then they'd go, we asked 100 people, like Family Feud style. How many people go to bed before 11 o'clock? And like you'd have to do over under. And like that was the bit. And then you played high low with cards.
Darris, do you remember the reprised 2020s version of To Tell the Truth with Anthony Anderson?
So I never actually saw that version. I was just looking it up here because I remembered that it did come back, but yeah. I've never watched his version of it.
So sneaky and randomly, I'm a big Anthony Anderson guy because I met him when I was a kid and he was butt nice, like one of the nicest guys ever. One of the times when I was doing something like sports wise as a kid, I think at the Super Bowl maybe, he was like there on media day, like doing loud bits, wacky bits, and he had just been in, I don't know, some movie I had seen. So I thought, I think it was Barbershop, actually. But I just thought, I'm like meeting a celebrity. So I've always loved him. But for some reason, his mom was like the co-star of the show. And she would sit there, like during To Tell the Truth, and help him host the show. Very, very weird. Anyway, who's growing on you for the Commanders? That is the pressing question on G&D on To Tell the Truth Tuesday.
Two things. One is the first one, I would say, Zach Ertz. I thought he just made some impactful plays in this game. He's thoughtful. He knows how to get open. He can find the spots in the zones. He made some big plays for us. And then the other spot is on defense. And I thought Wagner and Luvu looked like a pair of linebackers that were square. They tackled. They blitzed. They just felt like they were in connection and concert together, Candy. And so those two... I really felt Frankie's physicality. There was a big hit early on one of the plays to Neighbors on the very first drive that he had a long catch and run, and you just saw Frankie hauling ass and going to get into the tackle. But he brings a lot of energy, not just to this team, but to the entire building.
That's Dan Quinn. We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. Austin Eckler is on the show a little over 10 minutes from right now. You hear in that clip who Quinn was impressed by, who's growing on you through two games for the Commanders. Let's go to Chudy in Gainesville on G&D. What's up, Chudy?
How you guys are doing?
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, so for me, I got three. I mean, so far, Eckler and Robinson have been two players have been growing. I mean, I was excited when Eckler came. I feel like a lot could be done, but B-Rob, he's looking like, you know, the most dominant running back that we've had in a while. Yes, last week, you know, proved it. So I'm very excited. They're growing on me. I love our running back room. And then Frankie Luvu is just, you know, the kind of linebacker I want who's physical, gets in it, and, you know, he showed what he could do last week. So, you know, those are my three, and I hope they continue to grow on me. So, yeah, thanks.
Eckler's coming up at the top of the hour on the show, so he's easy to talk about positively right now, but it's been really good.
Yeah, this is what I was optimistic, hopeful, and thought we were getting, but the fact that it's happened has been awesome.
99 receiving yards, leads the team. He's got 109 yards after the catch. Think about that.
Yeah.
He has 99 total yards, but he has 109 yards after the catch. That tells you he's catching a bunch of balls behind the line of scrimmage.
That's part of it, yeah.
Too. He is averaging 4.8 yards per carry as well, almost 5 yards per run. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville. What's up, Chris?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, man.
I want to just make one comment on Frankie Luvu. I think he's got a lot of talent and he is all over the field, but some of the stats indicate that he's not the most efficient linebacker. So that's just my take on him. I'm not trying to throw any
shrapnel. He's two games into his right new scheme and whatnot, but we'll see where he ends up. But so far, I would say that's the word that separates it, physical.
He's more sizzle than steak, in my opinion. The guy who's growing on me is Zach Ertz, and I like Danny. I'm really surprised that he is still an effective player. He's definitely in the catch and fall category. Like, he catches the ball, and if he's lucky, if he gets one or two more strides after that, but he does get separation, and he's a big, huge target for Jaden Daniels. I don't know why they don't are starting to experiment with more two tight end sets with a more dynamic Senate. I'd really like to see him get involved a lot more.
Here, here. I'm hoping that that's coming. Because sometimes guys will talk about this. Tight end can maybe take a little bit of an extra beat or two to learn some of the intricacies and nuances. You've seen some guys come along a little slowly at that spot and then really blossom later. I'm hoping this is kind of like an apprenticeship for Senate before they start unleashing more and more from him. Because we're talking about this. Ertz is effective at what he is. Senate, you saw in the preseason, that catch in space, and he's rumbling, stumbling, knocking people over, getting extra yards. I think he can do that.
Sinnott's a really good blocker. So to some extent, they're going to want him to do a lot of that early on too, while they have Ertz. And then I also think there's just something too, as a veteran with a young quarterback, running precise routes, being in the right spot, knowing when to throttle it down to help beat zones. You know, some of the things Ertz has done, you heard, frankly, Quinn talking about it in that clip. I think Sinnott is better after the catch, and I think he's going to be better as this year goes on. But does he rip that ball away from the defender? I don't know. I know Ertz did, yeah. Right? I mean, does he get wide open on the 20-yard gain where he kind of had a guy running with him and he just kind of stopped and drifted to the middle of the field? It felt like that was a little bit like schoolyard Travis Kelce kind of, all right, let me just give Jaden a target. I think there's some of that in Ertz's game. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. What's up, Kev?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Here are my three. On offense, it's Brandon Coleman at left tackle. And, you know, he's not perfect yet, but I've seen a lot of good from him in the platoon. But I'd like to see him take over and push Luke over to either right tackle or just have him ready to go as a swing. Also, very happy with Noah Brown's performance as the second wideout past McLaurin. I think you may have even said this yesterday, Grant, on the show. I agree with you, or unless Danny said it, and that is he actually looks like he could be a number two receiver, whereas the other guys, I'm just not seeing it. But Brown, based on what I saw last year in spots with the Texans and now here, he's definitely growing on me. And then on the other side of the ball, it's Luvu, and here's why. Because we were all like, where's Luvu in the Tampa game? Or a lot of us were like, we didn't notice him. And he was really noticeable this past game. The other thing that I have to live with, let me put it this way, is during the game, I was like, why are we getting gashed? Why is this back looking like Barkley? Barkley plays for the Eagles, and yet I felt we were getting gashed. But then when I looked at the league stats, we were giving up less than 5 yards per carry in the first two games, and we're in the middle of the pack. We're like 18th out of 32. It wasn't as bad relative to the rest of the league as I thought. And I think what we're seeing, and you all talked about this, Danny definitely talked about this yesterday, we're defending to not give up the big play.
Totally. But,
thank you, Kev.
And thanks for the call. We're up against it. We got to get to Eckler. But I would say the Giants had whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted on the ground. They just kind of had to. They got to the point where they were just feeding Malik Nabers because they could do that too. I don't think it was like Washington stopped them from running.
Yeah, they didn't force the action anyway.
On Brandon Coleman at left tackle, he had 14 reps against the Bucs in week one, up to 22 snaps against the Giants as he continues to get worked more and more into the flow. Let's talk to Austin Eckler next, our weekly appointment with the dynamic running back right here on Grant and Danny at the top of the hour on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.